is for us, if you haven't noticed or if you haven't been keeping track, the center of the fast. We fast for 6 weeks of Lent, and then we have an additional week of Holy Week. It's distinctly two different fasts, but they are joined together, so we commonly think of them as the same one. But today is the midpoint of the season of Lent. And so on this day, the Church, in her wisdom, places before our eyes the cross for a couple of reasons. One is that with the struggles of Great Lent, we become disheartened sometimes, and we begin to think that it's too long, maybe, and we begin to think, maybe I'll just abandon this whole process and not worry about fasting and all of those things, because after all, God is merciful, isn't He? And so to encourage us and to preserve us from that, which is actually despair, if you have those thoughts, those are despair, so don't listen to them. But to deliver us from that, the Church places in the center of the fast the cross. It's spoken of in very glowing terms. If you read there's a lovely book called the Lenten Synaxarion, which contains readings for all of the days during Great Lent. It says the cross on the third week of Lent, it's like the standard of the king which is brought before him. So when the king would go to visit a city, before he arrived, his messengers would come before him bearing his standards and emblems. And the people would rejoice because they received the emblems representing the king, and they knew that that meant that he was coming. And so likewise, whenever we are struggling in the midst of the fast, the Church sends forth the cross to stand in the midst of the fast so that you and I would rejoice and know that the king is indeed coming. And that just as his emblem has arrived before him, so too he will come after that emblem and dwell within our midst. And who is this king whose emblem is this strange instrument of torture? Of course, you know it is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made the instrument of torture, this gruesome method of execution from the Romans, has made it into the symbol of life by his own death on it and his own resurrection from the dead. We read in St. Mark's Gospel today, the Lord says, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So the life of a Christian is not really distinctly different from the life of Christ. But a couple of things that he says here. First of all, he says, "Whoever will come after me." He does not compel anyone to come after him. The Lord does not require it, if you will. Why? Because it's not something that's difficult and arduous that he's calling us to. Think about it. We have to be compelled to do things that we don't want to do. Things that are difficult or things that are even bad. We have to be forced to do them. But the Lord doesn't force us to follow him. He calls us. Because he calls us to something which is good and holy and pure. So he doesn't say, "You must do this." He says, "If you desire it, if you desire to come after me, if you desire the kingdom of heaven, if you desire paradise, if you desire to be truly who you ought to be, who you were made to be by God himself, if you desire it, then this is the path. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me." And as if to show that it's not something impossible that he calls us to, he himself does it first. Even though for Christ it is not necessary, nevertheless, to pave the way for us, he follows this same path, the path of self-denial. And the path of self-denial that Christ walks is not just the path of the cross, or I should say, it's not just that visible instance on that one Friday all those years ago. But it is the self-emptying of God from all ages so that you and I may be deified, made like him. In St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, there's a strange phrase that I think most of us probably don't understand because of the way it's translated. It says that that Christ deemed it not robbery to be equal to God. It means that he did not count it a thing to be grasped onto, but he let go of it and humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. You see, Christ, the eternal Word of God, surrenders from the beginning. He gives up everything to take on human flesh and to live among us. He didn't count his divinity a thing to be grasped, but he was willing to surrender even that for the sake of calling you and me back to himself. So whenever he says, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me, he's not saying do this thing that is hard. He's saying, look, I'm doing it too. I have denied myself, even in my divinity I have denied myself and come down to you and taken up the cross and allowed myself to be nailed to it and given up my soul to show you the example that you may follow me. And so the path that we follow of Christ is one of self-denial, but also one of joy. Because this is the only path to paradise. How is it that we can deny ourselves? It's lovely to hear all of these things, theological points, but we might think practically, how do we apply this? And obviously we're in the season of Great Lent, so the first thing that comes to mind is we can fast. Fasting is good. It's not an end in and of itself. It is a means to an end. Just like in the gospel, self-denial is not an end in and of itself. The point of denying oneself is not to have denied oneself. The point of denying oneself is to follow Christ and enter paradise. So fasting is not an end in and of itself, but it is a means to an end. It's a means to acquire control over ourselves, to restore our human nature to its proper order and organization, so that the soul and the will reacquire power over the body, which rules over the soul and the will like a tyrant for the most part. But in fasting, we put the tyrant down and make the body again a servant, as it should be, to the soul and to the will. So fasting is one means of self-denial. There's another one I mentioned last week. Tithing is a method of self-denial. It's a divinely inspired and mandated method of self-denial in the church. It's a spiritual discipline whereby we give up a portion of what we earn to God so that the remainder of it can be blessed. And so, together with fasting during the season of Great Lent, we should also look at our giving, both to the church, which is a tithe, ideally at 10%, that's what the word tithe means, but also our giving to the poor, our giving of alms. All of these things are means of self-denial, so that we can't read St. Mark's Gospel and say, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me, and say, well, that sounds wonderful, but I don't know how to do it. We have very practical ways of doing this, prescribed by the church for this very reason, so that we may learn how to cut off our own will and submit it to the Lord. The last one, the last means of self-denial, particularly now during the season of Great Lent, is attendance at the divine services. Now, the services of the church, the Orthodox Christian Church as a whole, not this particular parish, but as a whole, has services which can be served every day. This is lived out most fully, for example, in monastic communities, but in larger parishes, cathedral parishes in larger cities, you'll see that as well. There's prayer going on in the church every day, twice a day, morning and evening. We noticed that whenever, several years back, some of us were privileged to go to Moscow. It was not uncommon to walk into these famous old churches that you've seen pictures of in, you know, coffee table books, to walk in and what's happening? You walk in like a stupid tourist and the liturgy is being celebrated. We were there, I think, for the feast of Saint Vladimir, the enlightener of equal to the apostles. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up walking around the city like tourists and stumbling into the church, and there they are celebrating the liturgy. It was a Tuesday morning or something. But in large cities and in monastic communities, you see this happening again and again. In this particular parish, I do my best to offer what I can. I have a family. I have other obligations. As a priest, I have other things that need my attention as well. So to serve every day, morning and evening, is beyond my own abilities. But I do what I can, and I offer as many services as I can realistically do. But during the season of Great Lent, that is even intensified a little bit more. We have on Wednesdays and on Fridays the liturgies of the pre-sanctified gifts, additional opportunities for us to receive Holy Communion, which is, on the theme of the cross, the fruit of the tree of life. And the interpretation of the Holy Fathers. The cross, being made of wood, becomes the tree of life in the midst of paradise. And the fruit of the tree of life, which was forbidden to Adam and Eve, is born on the cross, which is the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So eating of the fruit of the tree of life, you and I inherit immortality. So we have that opportunity before us every Wednesday night and every Friday at noon to prepare ourselves and to receive Holy Communion more frequently than we do. We have the lovely Akathist hymn we're singing on Friday nights, and there are other services. I don't really expect anybody but myself to be at all of those services. But those things happen at a variety of times. Some of them are at 7 o'clock in the morning, some of them are at 6:30 in the evening, some of them are at noon. So that each and every one of us can probably rearrange some part of our schedule and make it to an additional service during the course of the week, at least during Great Lent. Again, this is a method of self-denial. It's a way of surrendering ourselves, handing ourselves over to Christ, and in exchange, receiving paradise. So I've given you three possibilities in your own lives to fulfill the commandment of the Lord in this gospel passage today. To deny yourself, to take up the cross, and to follow Christ. Fasting, tithing and almsgiving, and increased attendance at the public prayer services of the faithful community. I encourage you from this time, at least until the end of the fast. I'm not going to say for the rest of your lives. I'm just going to say till the end of the fast. 3 weeks of Lent and 1 week of Holy Week. Exert yourself in these things. Begin now if you haven't begun. Keep the fast now if you've been not in the habit of keeping the fast. Pray now. Come to the services now. Tithe now. Give your alms now. Begin now. And I'm only asking for 4 weeks. I should be asking for the rest of your life. But at least for the next 4 weeks, exert yourselves in these things, so that you too can taste the blessedness of self-denial and following the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Christ is in our midst. He is our exile.